Yes, good afternoon. The two old stages are still away. We're not sure where Jars is. And, of course, the old Norwood reject Ian Louie is away, certainly trying to find a second job to pay for his missus' credit card at the moment. She does rack him up. But in filling in for them at the moment, myself, Rhett Biglins, and this man, the great Adelaide Crow ruckman that he is, Sam Jacobs. G'day, Sauce. Great to have you back.
Great to be here, Biggles.
How would you describe the weather at the moment, Sauce?
Cold, wet, miserable.
It is absolutely one of the worst days ever, but the man who normally sits in your seat on a Saturday morning.
The great man.
The great KG Cunningham. He rehearses his speech prior to coming in every day without looking outside. This is, I reckon, how he would describe the weather.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Dead Set Legends on this magnificent Saturday morning.
It's always magnificent. The flowers are blooming. The grass is growing. He loves it, the big legend. G'day to KG out there.
Yeah,
we love
you, KG.
Tough day at the office for, a few sporting organisations out there as well. But last night was a good day for Australian soccer fan source.
Amazing, Biggles. To think yesterday all we spoke about was that we needed a good start. We need to put pressure on the Syrians. And then 6 minutes in, they've scored a goal.
I know.
Disastrous start.
Jim Cosmina told us that the start was crucial. And then they get on the back foot. But thankfully, the road to Russia is still on the agenda. An amazing game, and Tim Cahill probably becomes one of the greatest ever sportsmen this country has produced with some cracking goals.
Yeah, it is. It'd be an interesting discussion that. He just seems to pop up when we need him most. And I think you mentioned before that he's up there with Lionel Messi for the most international goals, or equal with him for international goals. So we've had some fantastic sportsmen in this country, and he'd be right up there.
No doubt. It was spine-chilling stuff, and the width of the post saving Australia in the end when that ball hit it. We'll dive into that a little bit later on. There's some big news around as well with Trade Week getting underway, and great news for Port Adelaide fans with Jack Watts now looking like he's becoming a power player.
Yeah, Stephen Wells on Melbourne Trade Radio has mentioned that the Geelong haven't offered him a contract. They're not saying they're out of the race, but they haven't offered him one, whereas I think it seems Port Adelaide have. So, once again, they're probably in the box seat, and they've done a fantastic job, Port Adelaide, this offseason.
Well, checkbook is out, isn't it?
They're well and truly having a crack, which is good to see. Good on them.
Got some Kanga, that's for sure. Hey, we're going to have a look at the scenario with a Richmond player putting the premiership medallion around a naked woman's neck. Now, we shouldn't laugh, but it's gone viral now. The police have got involved. So we're going to have a look into that later on, as well as Callum Ferguson is going to join the show and talk us through that Redbacks match yesterday.
Yeah, unfortunately, they weren't able to get the job done against Tasmania. But great afternoon, Biggles. There's plenty more to come.
Hey, Damo as well. Damien Barrett, the purple-headed warrior, is going to jump on board, give us all the trade news from day three of the marathon, which is the trade fortnight. And also, David Anderson, great to have him on board. You love your NBA, Sauce.
I could talk to Dave all day, I reckon, Biggles. I'd have plenty for him.
Of course, he played against the OKC Thunder. Well, just recently, didn't he? And he's playing against Adelaide on Saturday night as well. So, and he was a menace against us last time we took him on.
Unfortunately, we didn't quite get it done, but the way the fixturing works, we get another crack this Saturday night.
Yeah, stick around. We've got tickets to the Adelaide Cup on Friday night. Thanks to you, Bet, to give away. And, of course, the quiz with no name a little later on the show.
It's the Rush Hour, Jars and Louis, Rhett Biglins and Crows Ruckman, Sam Jacobs on the fill-in. Triple M.
From Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shun Chandra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcast1.com.au or download the app.
104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M's, the Rush Hour, Giles and Louis, Rhett Biglins and Crows Ruckman, Sam Jacobs on the job.
We're engulfed in the road to Russia last night, Sauce, weren't we? With the World Cup qualifier, Australia versus Syria, and the great Timmy Cahill. Finally, the Socceroos have progressed just by the skin of their teeth after that 110-minute extra time goal from the legend who is Timmy Cahill.
Unbelievable, Biggles. To think we loved him already for what he's done for our country, and then we love him even more after what he did last night. Not only the first goal, then the second goal. And one thing you love about an athlete is someone who's willing to talk it up, but then back it up. And Timmy Cahill certainly did that last night, and here's him speaking after the game.
Clever ball for Robbie Cruz. Hangs it up. Cahill! There it is! A half century!
I knew that was going to happen. You're going to throw the wrong one.
That is the great score. That's how we scored. It was so good.
Let's have another go.
Here we go.
Logic. I said, if you ain't going to make it your moment, I'm going to take it. And we're laughing afterwards because I knew I was going to score. You know, it's not something that you're overconfident about, but you put yourself in those right positions. And it was like waiting for a bus. I always say it. I didn't touch the ball much, but I did my job.
What's the producer Jared doing out there? What's going on?
Waiting for the bus on the Tim Cahill Expressway. That was renamed just going across the top of Sydney, well, Darling Harbour there, and it's got to be permanently named now.
It's unbelievable, Biggles, and he's fantastic, and we're playing Honduras now. And what part of the world is that in?
Honduras.
Honduras, is it?
Yeah, Honduras is. I was going to say it's in South America, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not sure, mate.
I think it is in South America. But so they obviously are a tough beat because they beat Mexico, who are a gun side. Next month, we take them on in a two-leg qualifier. USA are out of the World Cup. Can you believe this? That'll be devastated over there in Yankee land after Trinidad and Tobago had a real shock loss eliminating them. And it's amazing when the World Cup comes around because it's so tight for spots for, you think of the whole world trying to qualify them. We had a wonderful opportunity against Thailand, which went begging. We're now going the long route. And there's obviously some issues around our coaching staff as well in regards to Ange Postecoglou, because he's set to quit as manager if all reports are right after the next stage of qualification, regardless of whether Australia makes the World Cup. And so you can tell by his body language in the press conference, he's just getting grilled by media flat out. You never see him smile. And he gets questioned so often on his structures and his setups. And we heard John Cosmina again attacking him after the game as well in regards to, first of all, his starting selections and their movement and possession time of the ball.
Yeah, it was. It's always an interesting one after, I guess, such a good win. But at the same time, it's probably not the ideal way we wanted to win like that. You know, obviously letting them score early and I guess relying on Timmy Cahill, 37-year-old Timmy Cahill, to save us once again. But it is great to see, you know, these World Cup teams qualifying. We saw Iceland, Biggles. I think it's an absolutely fantastic story. 335,000 people, and they've qualified for World Cup. It's crazy, isn't it?
Isn't that just insane? Let's hope Australia can get there. We're taking on Honduras, and here is how a commentator of the last match that Honduras played in, I think it was against Panama, have a listen to how excited he gets when a goal is scored.
That's cold.
That's next level, isn't it?
Oh, next level. Get him at the festival.
How good is that?
Just outstanding stuff. Looking forward to hopefully when we score against them, whether or not he has the same passion. We'll jump into that Iceland thunderclap a little bit later on in the program. Stick around for that because that is
it's brilliant.
If you haven't seen that on social media, you can jump on at Triple M Adelaide and have a look on our Twitter feed with the full capacity crowd of Iceland clapping with their players.
I think everyone was there, to be honest, in the country.
No doubt. And we'll get into the Kyrgios dummy spit a little bit later on in the program also.
It's the Rush Hour with Jars and Louis. Rem Biglands and Crows Ruckman Sam Jacobs on the fill-in. Triple M.
Bad news if you're a Panthers supporter as well. Good news if you're a Collingwood supporter, because just fresh off the press is that Bud Hocking has just signed with the Collingwood Football Club as an assistant coach. Wish him all the best after 3 years with the Maggies and, of course, a year at the Panthers. South Adelaide now looking for a new coach.
Yeah, it's not just the players that are jumping around, is there? There's obviously plenty of movement within the coaches. He's a really good fellow as well, Buddha. I've had a little bit of
great coach.
Him,
so, yeah. Ripping bloke. We wish Buddha all the best. On a sadder note, which is circulating at the moment, apart from some explicit photos, there is a lot of news around in regards to the photos which circulated with a woman wearing an AFL Premiership medal around her neck, and she was nude, and it was one of the Richmond players allegedly who took the photo and then circulated it, and is getting investigated now by the Yarra Crime Investigation Unit, and the detectives are looking into it. Of course, it's against the law to circulate any media, if you like, or any photographs without the consent of the person who has taken, especially when nudity is involved. And in particular, of course, you have to get consent when there is any sexual intercourse involved. And this is obviously getting looked at the moment. Now, from an AFL point of view source, players are pretty well educated, and they obviously go through a lot when it comes down to this type of thing, with social media being so strong. How often and how informed are you into the ramifications of actions like this?
Yeah, it's a real, you know, interesting one, I guess, the digital platform stuff, is that you know, within the last two to three years, you know, I've been in the system 11 years now, and there's this big wave, big tsunami coming of this digital platform stuff. And, you know, the club's doing their best to handle it and, I guess, manage it and all that sort of stuff, because if it's handled right, you can actually get some real benefit out of it, you know, which we see some players doing. So, you know.
How do you reckon the story would have unfolded? One of the Richmond players obviously picks up, or it might be his girlfriend, it might be his sister, who knows, but he's obviously taken a photo, circulated it, texted it to a friend, and then what's happened?
Yeah, I think allegedly the story goes that, you know, that's happened, and then it's obviously been spread on to friends or teammates or whatever. So as players, you know, there's a lot of education, which the clubs and the AFL do some fantastic work around, making sure when we first come into the system that, you know, we have a two, three-day weekend in Melbourne where players go there, the new draftees, and you know, they give us information on a base around all this sort of stuff, whether it's, you know, racism, responsibility, alcohol, media training, professionalism, and now you're not just a player, you also represent your club. So anything, you know, we do as players, you know, affects the club. So, you know, at Carlton, I was there when, you know, the Fev and the Bingle stuff came through, and, you know, it was, as players, we were educated around that. They touched on that, making sure we're doing the right thing, and that it does affect more than just the individual player. So,
it was a similar scenario for our listeners who weren't aware of that situation. Fev was with Lara Bingle at the time, and there was some nudity involved and a photo that circulated from his camera.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of the story.
And then was it dragged in front of the players and spoken about?
Not that incident.
Not the incident,
but just around education again. So during pretty much, you know, February, March, once preseason's coming to an end, that's when all this sort of stuff kicks off at the club. And, you know, I must take my hat off to the club. We do a fantastic job at making sure that, you know, even when I'm coming in today, we make sure we're all one, we're all representing the same line. And, you know, it's really good these days that, so it not only helps you to front the media and front the way you are society as a player, but you can actually take these, you know, into your life as well to make sure that you're respectful and that, you know, you understand that there's a lot of delicate issues out there and they've got to be handled well.
But no doubt that AFL players probably get presented with more opportunities to meet women than your average 18-year-old. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. I mean, now it probably was different when you were coming through, that you spent a lot more time, I guess, out and about, and, you know, nowadays it generally doesn't happen, but the one thing that we do get access to is, as mentioned before, the digital platform. You know, these days with Tinder and the online dating stuff and Snapchat and Instagram and all that, the guys have a lot of accessibility to, I guess, the public have access to them, and they have access to, you know, obviously, you know, girls and things like that. So
it's just changed so much. I mean, when Tony Modra used to go walking around Westlakes Mall and he had 15 blokes, or 15 girls, I should say, hanging around him, the blokes were getting his autograph as well.
Absolutely.
But have a crowd following him around Westlakes Mall, and he was only looking in Roger David.
Yeah.
And he'd have a swarm of women. Now, when Bernie Vince was in his prime and Tinder was going off its banana, he had multiple options prior to settling down the good man that he is now. He's buck party on the weekend. But the scenario that occurs so often is that you are presented with these challenges, and occasionally via Snapchat and a few other areas, you will have nudity thrown at you. And so the AFL players, are they smart enough? And how does it relate to the average 18-year-old who would have the same things put to them in regards to those where it's not appropriate and it's not legal?
Yeah, I mean, there's, 780 guys, 800 players in the system nowadays, and it's getting younger and younger. You know, we got a lot of guys coming in the system that are 18, 19 years old, going into state, you know, getting, like you said, access to all these, I guess, these finer things in life, and being part of them, getting noticed and things like that's definitely a part of it. And, you know, all we can do is educate these guys, make sure we hope that when they're put in these situations, they make the best decision, not only for themselves, for their teammates, and also the club.
So we'd say on average that the AFL player would be more educated than the
100%, without doubt that, you know, we get plenty of it. And, as mentioned, it's about upholding and make sure you're, I guess, a good citizen in society.
Intriguing stuff. Stick around after the break. Callum Ferguson is going to go dive deep into the Redbacks' disaster yesterday and where they sit. And also just around the corner, Damien Barrett with all the trade news.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Well, South Australia's finals chances in the national one-day competition, they're slipping just a little bit after their loss to Tasmania in North Sydney over yesterday. Looked all right, Source, to start with, when this man, Callum Ferguson, got off to a good start with Alex Carey, but then it all unravelled from there. G'day, Ferg. Welcome to the Rush Hour.
Thanks for having me, boys.
First question, Ferg. Obviously played Tasmania yesterday, a disappointing result, but we've actually started pretty well in the tournament itself.
Yeah, look, we were 2-1 going into that one, and we were really keen to get off to a good start and continue the momentum after two big wins against New South and Queensland, who we rate really highly. Unfortunately, we just weren't able to finish off with the bat. We got a good start, as you mentioned earlier. I think we were 1 for 90-odd. And, we lost a couple of wickets and weren't able to get the momentum back, unfortunately. But certainly we feel like, right through our list, we're in good touch with the ball and the bat. So we're pretty confident we can bounce back against Victoria tomorrow.
Ferg, the coach, Jamie Siddons, reckons that there might have been a lack of composure throughout the side. And as fans of the Redbacks, we often look for that maturity level to go each year on year. How do you see the balance of the side at the moment? And have we improved on last year's squad?
Yeah, look, I think we definitely have. We would have liked to have got a better start to the tournament in the first game. We got sent in by the Cricket Australia 11 and lost just a few too many at the start. We set 280-odd, which was a good score, I thought, and we just missed a few chances in the field. So to bounce back really maturely in the next two games against some high-quality competition, we were really pleased with that. Unfortunately, in the run chase yesterday, we just got into a bit of a hole in the middle of the innings chasing 315 or something like that, I think. And unfortunately, which can happen, runs on the board can mount some pressure on you through the middle. We'd like to think, though, more often than not, we'll get the job done.
Being a big Redbacks man, Fergan, you guys playing the one-day tournaments at the moment, it feels that the one-day tournament's, I guess, a bit, not irrelevant, but sort of just been pushed aside a bit. 2020's taken over, and obviously Shield's always as important as it has been. How do you feel about it being at the start of the season and, staying up in Sydney for, a week or two to get the tournament out the way early?
Yeah, look, I always used to like when I first started playing the home and away fixtures, if I'm honest. I really enjoyed the, getting out there and playing at Adelaide Oval, where I watched the Redbacks as a young man, and also the Australian team. And I suppose I'm a little bit disappointed for the young guys coming in that, don't get to play out there in one-day cricket, and probably the young fans and just every fan in South Australia doesn't get to see us play one-day cricket in the Reds. So I'd rather us play home and away throughout the summer. I'd love to see it go back to playing, one day as in amongst the Shield season. And then if you have to rotate players in and out to rest them, then that's what you do. A little bit like you see over in the football world, in the Premier League and the European soccer leagues, that where, sides are playing in multiple cups, so they end up having to rotate their players. I don't see why we couldn't go down that path in the future, but, I think the fans would love to see it, don't you think?
Absolutely, mate. I totally agree. I think there was nothing better on a Sunday afternoon watching Shaun Tate barrel in it at one end at Adelaide Oval. So I'm totally with you. And Biggles, while we're on to the stars of SA cricket, how's Chatty Sayers as close to coming back, and Alex Carey's obviously making his push for the Ashes at the moment?
Yeah, look, it's great to have Chatty back. I think we're all a bit a bit nervy when we heard Chatty had busted a finger out at Park 25 playing for the Southern Force a few weeks ago. But the reports of Christmas time weren't as accurate as first thought, and we've managed to get him up and running in about 3 weeks. So he's a good chance to play a role for us at the back end of this one-day tournament, obviously, with a lot of experience. It's great to have him back around the young blokes. And then we know the skills that he's got with the ball in hand. So we'll wait and see if he plays a role. But certainly it's great to have him back up and running, and he'll be ready to go for the first Shield game if he's not playing in the tournament. We've also got Alex Carey, who's found some really good touch in the last couple of games, which is exciting for everyone. I think he's going to really push hard for Ash's selection, and I'd love to see him up there. I think he's got the game for it. I think he's certainly got the gloves for it. He's been like he's had Velcro on the mitts the last couple of years. So it's great to see him really getting the job done. And we'd love to see him in the green and gold. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt. We love having you on. Well done, Ferg. Thanks for coming on Triple M as always. What's next as well? Next match in lineup in your preparation?
Yeah, so we've got Victoria out at North Sydney tomorrow, so that's a big one for us, and we're really confident we can turn it around quickly and get the result we're looking for.
Good work, Ferg.
Thanks, mate.
It's a rush hour, Triple M.
And if you just missed it, Tom Rockliffe is a Port Adelaide player with the Lions receiving compensation draft pick, currently number 18, so, and reportedly 700K a year for Tommy Rockliffe down at Alberton. Checkbooks are out, and a four-year deal as well, which will add to the midfield. Looking at the names at the on the trade table, Source,
yep.
Because Rockcliffe's a small, but I'm looking at the guys who are around at the moment who obviously Mumford's got that knee injury, which they're looking at, whether or not he will be...
Navicular.
Yeah, that's the one, sorry.
Yep.
Lobie, Trengove obviously got traded. Tippett as well being banded around, your mate Tippo.
Yep.
Watts being offered.
Yep.
And Josh Shackey. Yeah. And the Pies chopped Lachlan Keith. These are all big blokes.
Yeah.
The evolution of football at the moment, obviously went through Pagan's Paddock and Clarko's Cluster and the like, but are you getting a little bit nervous that obviously after the Dogs won their flag with a mosquito fleet up forward, Richmond's forward line was pretty small.
Yep.
There aren't too many sides out there at the moment who are probably, and is this going into the planning of clubs at the moment, that they're going to be much, much smaller in the forward line. And gone are the days of two ruckmen.
Absolutely. Those days are well and truly gone. We certainly won't see two ruckmen back. Richmond have obviously taken it to a new level. When I find myself rocking against my old mate from Carlton, Sean Grigg, who's 188 centimetres.
Yeah. And then just reading your hand.
It just shows the evolution of the game. And it is an interesting point that you make, that there are a lot of these guys sitting on there, and then you hear whispers, you know, blokes have gone a bit quiet on Shackey, which, you know, 12 months ago, he was hot property. You know, Richmond and Collingwood and all these sort of clubs were, you know, keen on him. And now he's almost available and people are backing off. So it is a changing landscape, the footy one, that's for sure.
So it's whether or not marks inside 50 are more important than forward line pressure. So you have these speedy forward line miniature players who hoon around and put enormous pressure on to create a stoppage. Adelaide's probably the exception because you've got two players like Tex and yep. Lynchy who have midfield-like skills.
Yeah.
Tex's skills are phenomenal for a bloke 6'4", and Lynchy's just amazing with his run as well. So, but is the larger forward line of having those big targets up there, is it almost diminishing and gone?
Well, it's probably, you know, home and away footy is different from probably finals footy. I still think big fellas absolutely have a role to play at times when you can expose the smaller defense or whatever, but finals footy, as we know, the pressure builds. It's more important just to make a contest, not so much actually marking them. And that's what Richmond did in the grand final. They out-pressured us. They went to down the line a lot. They just brought the ball to the ground, and their mosquito fleet were too quick and provided a lot of pressure. And they were able to, you know, counter on us. So it's an interesting point.
And just to add to the discussion, with Jarman Impey's value going up and Motlop's value going up, so small forwards.
And they've been hunted, especially Jarman.
Very intriguing.
It's the Rush Hour with Jars and Louis, Ram Biglands and Crows ruckman Sam Jacobs on the fill-in. Triple M.
There you go, Source. When was the last time you had your brakes checked?
Friday.
Good stuff. Down at Automasters. Give him a buzz on 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. And Brett from Paynham, I reckon you might be pretty happy to get your brakes checked if you can win $1,000. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm overdue for a service, so $1,000 would come in handy.
Perfect, mate. What would you do with the $1,000?
If I had any left over after the service, I'd probably take the wife out for a nice dinner.
Beautiful. Romantic. Straight down the local pub or...
Maybe somewhere a bit nicer. Yeah, good. See how much money we got left.
Righto, if you've been paying attention, very gettable.
Gettable today.
Yeah, yes. Good luck, Brett. Here we go. You right to go?
Yep, all good.
Here we go. Who scored both goals for the Socceroos last night?
Tim Cahill.
In terms of cricket, what does BBL stand for?
Big Bash League.
Who is the highest ranked Australian men's tennis player?
Nick Kyrgios.
Which Crows player has requested a trade to Brisbane?
Charlie Cameron.
What country is the smallest nation ever to qualify for the Soccer World Cup?
Iceland.
Where is the Australian MotoGP held?
Phillip Island.
Which Aussie cricketer is married to former pro iron woman Candice Fowson?
David Warner.
Name the former head coach of the South Adelaide Football Club.
Automasters.
What is the national women's soccer team known as?
The Matildas.
Which former player is the Richmond Football Club CEO?
Brendan Gale.
Yay! We've done it! We don't like to get... We're going to count it down. We'll do it officially, but I think Source has got his wallet out the table. Let's have a look.
But I'm just excited. All right.
Come on, You beauty.
We've done it.
You ripper.
Automaster saving you there, mate. Yeah.
Good stuff, Brett. Our producer just dropped his head. Well done, mate. Do you think you had him?
Thank you.
Were you confident?
What's that?
Did you think you had him?
There was one that I wasn't sure of. I wasn't sure on the last one. Yeah.
Former head coach of South Adelaide. He'd just been announced to go to Collingwood today.
Who was it? Doc.
You weren't cheating.
No, no,
I know he gets it, but Gary Hocking, mate, he's just been signed. You still get it, don't stress.
Don't worry.
I'm a South Adelaide fan as well.
Are you? Well, you've got to find a new coach. Maybe you can donate your grand. Take the missus out somewhere nice. Go for a nice bottle of red too. And give a shout out to your better half too. Just let her know. What's her name?
We'll do. It's Rebecca.
Good on you, Rebecca.
Oh, very good.
Well done, Brett. Enjoy, mate.
Call us down the phone.
Hey, we're in trouble, Source. We weren't supposed to give it away.
That's coming out of your wage, Biggles.
stick around. Once we work out where the money's going to come from, we'll dive in deeper. Hey, big news. Well, Tom Rockcliffe just signed with Port Adelaide, and we're going to have him exclusive, live, on the program.
Producers have done it.
Port Power supporters, stick around because you're going to find out who your boom recruit is and what he's up to. 45 minutes time, right here on Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour, Jars and Louis, Rhett Biglands, and Sam Jacobs just gave away $1,000. Triple M. The Rush Hour on Triple M, Rhett Biglands and Sam Jacobs filling in for Jars and Louis and the new Port recruit, Tom Rockcliffe, on the phone at 5:45, exclusive on the Rush Hour, Triple M.
This will be very happy Port Adelaide supporters around. First deal done of the trade week.
It's nice to hear something done, isn't it?
Yep, finally got some pen to paper. And what about old mate Kyrgios? Hasn't he?
Walking headline.
Oh my Lord, if you missed it last night, he had a bit of a mental breakdown again where he walked off the court in Shanghai, and hasn't had a good run, and here he is.
4-3.
What are you doing?
Kyrgios, code violation, order of obscenity, point penalty.
It's normal. This stuff's normal. It's normal, is it? Wait 20 minutes to this. This hurt. Come on. Yeah. Poor officiating by you when you tried to stop as soon as it started happening.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Kyrgios is walking a fine line here.
Just didn't say anything when it was happening. Nothing.
Before making the threat to quit if he lost the set.
Probably just now I'm retiring. Go home.
Game and first set. Johnson. 7 games, 2 sets.
Looks like he's done. Well, incredible. What is it about Shanghai and Nick Kyrgios, Robbie? Emotions getting the better of him, and he's off.
Not only that, let's think about last year when he was fined and banned for that tanking episode in Beijing. So the ATP could investigate this further to see why he did walk off the court.
Yeah, it's disappointing to see, I guess, when he throws those threats out there and then goes missing not too long after that, and obviously ends up ending the game. So quite ironic, he lost to Steve Johnson.
Yeah, old Stevie J.
Stevie J's playing tennis now, is he?
He's done well. The 22-year-old, of course, he's an American out there at the moment, not the gun Stevie J. Then old mate Kyrgios has said that he's got a stomach bug. He ate a raw dim sim, and it didn't go down too well. Then this is his comeback. He's jumped on Facebook and said that, guys, I just want to apologise to the fans in Shanghai and for those who watched around the world on TV today. I've been battling a stomach bug for the last 24 hours and really struggling on the court. For those who saw it, he walked off.
He did. He, especially when he backs it after a dummy spit like that. It's pretty disappointing. And I think he probably, you know, regrets his actions as well by the looks, Biggles.
Well, he just doesn't do himself any favour. Are you a fan?
I want to. I want to love him. I think he's obviously got some amazing talent. And I guess the thing that I see is we've had a lot of blokes, or a lot of people, I guess, question late in early days. And we know the absolute champion is you know, our greatest export in tennis and all that sort of stuff. So let's hope that, you know, Leighton wasn't at this level, but, you know, hopefully we can see Kyrgios turn it around and be the great, great tennis player we all hope he can be.
On his Facebook post as well, he also threw in there that he had a sore shoulder. He had something wrong. You know, his pre-game meal wasn't right. He's thrown everything in there. As he's walking off the court as well, though, he said this one to the crowd.
Screw you guys.
I'm getting here.
Come on, Nick. Settle down. In your pre-game meal, though, everyone's pretty religious as a professional athlete, Sauce. And for your pre-game meal and the lead up to the grand final, did you do anything differently?
Yeah, I did. I I'm big on reading articles and American sports and all that sort of stuff. And I heard I can't remember who it was, mentioned that they didn't eat chicken to the lead up. So obviously this grand final meant everything to us players. I wanted to make sure I was going to be there. So I stayed off the chicken for the whole week just in case I got a bad batch, or, you know, I only heard Tom Lonigan, before the prelim, he had to pull out because of a stomach bug. So I pulled out all stops to make sure I was there ready to go.
And religiously for your breakfast pre-game, you do some pretty crazy things. What do you do?
Well, I do bagels. I like to get a mixture of Nutri-Grain, All Brand, and Special K. It's just something I've
get a mixture.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll just make my own little batch. And
what, using chemical test tubes? Or do you weigh up?
I don't quite weigh it or anything like that. But I just
your fibre intake?
Yeah, exactly. It's really good for you.
You must back up the bowl after that. Solid stuff.
So I've got to make sure I've got the Nutri-Grain and that and all that on hand when I'm travelling to make sure I'm ready to go.
How do you blend them all in?
I've just got my own special container that I put them into at home. I make sure I do it. Izzy doesn't do it for me. She cooks my meal the night before a game, but make sure I do it.
Screw you guys.
Come to the toilet.
Special K. At his best, just to mix it in.
It's a rush hour. Jars and Louis, Rent Biglands and Crows Ruckman. Sam Jacobs on the job. And Newport recruit Tom Rockcliffe on the phone at 5:45. Exclusive to the rush hour. Triple M.
Well, he's an icon of Australian basketball, one of the greats. David Anderson joins us from Melbourne United. Of course, he was an Australian player as well. Welcome to the rush hour, Dave.
G'day.
First of all, how was the trip to America and how was it playing against the Thunder over there?
Oh, it was good. It was a hectic trip. You know, obviously we played Adelaide over there like under a week ago, and then we had to fly straight out to Oklahoma. And yeah, it's not easy flying halfway around the world. But yeah, it was good fun, and we got in and had a training session, and next thing we're playing them in the game, and it was a good challenge, and I thought we did pretty good in respects, because it was like I said, flying in to play a team like Oklahoma with their stars that they've got was no easy feat. So
that was an incredible performance. We were blown away watching it. Went down to the wire, you know, against OKC with the stars they had in their lineup, like Russell Westbrook, but the 3-point line might have been a challenge as well. That's further out in the NBA than the NBL, is that right?
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit further. I mean, obviously, it makes it a little bit harder. But, I mean, I think some of the guys adjust. I think even I got a 3-pointer in, which is great to get back to that line again and challenge it. So, but, it was fun. You know, the guys, they did play all their stars for quite a few minutes, probably more than what they thought they were going to. And it was a good challenge for us. And we took them all the way to the wire. Unfortunately, we just missed out on that last bucket to put us up.
You're probably Australia's best performed basketball player in Europe. What's your sort of thoughts on Europe, I guess, versus playing in the NBL after your second season back here? And obviously Australian basketball's in pretty good spot at the moment.
Yeah, I've always said, you know, the NBL in a good way. It's quite a good good league. There's a lot of good talent over here. And the Aussie players fight really hard, and they, you know, bring a good good game. You know, it's hard to compete, you know, I suppose, and as you can see with the NBL game against the NBA team. But European slightly different style. It's more I suppose tactical and teamwork, a bit more like the NBL in that sense, whereas the NBA is more individual. So I've been over in Europe and won a few championships over there and with various teams, and it's always fun. But coming back to Australia obviously is great, and looking forward to the challenge of winning one here.
We've seen you play some NBA with, you know, the Raptors and also the Rockets. Do you?
Yeah.
We're almost on the start of the NBA season. Are you fully entrenched with it? Are you now a bit older? I guess it's more family time, or, I know I'm excited for it. I can't wait for it to start.
Yeah, I mean, it is. When you get, especially being back there and playing a game. I mean, I've played in, you know, Oklahoma before with the Rockets and with the other New Orleans as well. So, I mean, it's great to see that again, and it does give you a little buzz, you know, seeing that, remembering the good times they had over there. And, definitely going to be exciting watching some of the other Aussie players play over there as well. That always makes it more interesting for me. But definitely it's a good season. But, yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to this NBL season. I think it's, you know, it's exciting what's going on over here and the way that, you know, the media is getting behind it a bit more this year, and people are getting a bit more involved. And hopefully the fans will be out till most of our games, especially our home games.
Yeah, they'll be packed this Saturday night. We would like to wish you all the best, but
I get a few, I get a fair few boos over there. I understand it, but no, it's good fun.
We only boo you because we know you're a good player, but we appreciate everything you've done for the country and for the NBL. But yeah, good luck anyway, personally, on Saturday night. Thanks for chatting the rush hour.
Yeah, former NBA star David Ennison there chatting to Rent Biglands and Sam Jacobs on the Rush Hour.
Tom Rockliffe, of course, signed with Port Adelaide. We're going to have him right here on the Rush Hour, 5:45. Stick around, and some news with South Adelaide losing their coach as well. Source?
Yeah, Gary Hawkins, which is, I guess it's good for him, but not so great for South Adelaide, is that he signed the Collingwood panel. So that that concludes Collingwood's coaches. They're all locked in.
So he's gone home. I think this homesickness thing is becoming a bit of an issue. We need to have a look at that. Stay with us, folks, because it's now becoming more and more relevant about players, coaches, and everyone going home.
Is it real?
Jake Lever as well.
Triple M. It's Triple M's Rush Hour. Rhett Biglands and Sam Jacobs filling in for Jars and Louis. Triple M.
New power recruit, Tom Rockliffe, just around the corner. 5:45 right here on the Rush Hour, giving us his happiness in regards to signing with Port Adelaide Source, and he'll be taking you on in a showdown very soon.
Look forward to it, and lead into certainly someone who's not homesick. He's from Benalla, he's played at Brisbane, and it's great to see him now come across the port.
Yeah, this discussion around going home and whether or not it's the better thing for your career, with so many people changing careers, changing states. A lot of people obviously go to Sydney, to Melbourne to further their careers. In the AFL world, a lot of players go home rather than going interstate. And Nicky Del Santo, who you admire.
Yep, absolutely.
And I really admire as a 300-game player. He had these comments last night, which I agreed with.
I hate this word we say, homesick. I think we're the only professional sport that I can think of in the world where we say, I want to go home. You've got to leave the nest at some stage. You know, you can't continually say, I want to just go back home. I think it works really well in regards to leverage, that it's a threat that you want to go home. Therefore, you can get a little bit more money. You can get some more years on your contract. But we're big boys. I mean, we can leave home at some stage and stay in that other state, and whether it's working, as in regards to football, you can play your football there and then come home after that. I don't like this idea that I'm homesick, I need to go home and see mum and dad again.
Yeah, I can agree with one side he's taken, but also at the same time, they're isolated. You know, I look at American sports, it's completely different to Australian sports, whereas, you know, we live at home right up until we get drafted pretty much, and then we get drafted to, you know, a club, not necessarily where we want to go, whereas in America, people will move for college. It's part of their, I guess, their history that, you know, they might grow up in Carolina, but they go to university in California. So it's part of their, I guess, their culture is to move around a lot. So it is definitely real. I experienced it. I came home for not only a greater opportunity to play, as we had plenty of ruckmen, but also because I wanted the opportunity to be able to play some of my career in front of family and friends. And to me, that's really enticing. And to be honest, because I'm living out my dream at the moment, I get to play in front of 50,000 here at Adelaide Oval. Mum and dad get to come down and enjoy, you know, my career as well.
You've had an outstanding career, but you're saying your career has been improved by coming home.
100%. I think coming back to a natural environment, I'm massive on, if you're a happy life, you're going to play the best footy you can. And for me, that's been really important. But that's not to say, you know, I couldn't have a great career at Carlton. I loved my time at Carlton. It was the best thing to happen to me, to actually get taken away from my comfort zone, to go over there, experience a new city. You know, I've got my best friends still that I talk to every day from Carlton. So, you know, I can see both sides of it.
Well, the intriguing one for me is that it's left a bad taste in Adelaide supporters' mouths. Not so much Port Adelaide, but Adelaide supporters' mouths have had a bad taste after Tippo said he was going home and the plane landed in Sydney. And then, of course, Danger goes home, two of the greats, and well, not two of the greats. I think Danger is a great. But
yeah,
he went home and his career has gotten better. Tippo maybe at the crossroads at the moment. Colin Young is the player manager of Charlie Cameron at the moment. And after the Jake Lever scenario, who has said he's homesick and going home, I don't think it's for the better of Charlie Cameron's football career that he is to be going to Brisbane. As a small forward and where he's at in his career and where Adelaide are at, I would think that he is going to progress better under the tutelage of Eddie Betts. And that this decision that Colin Young is pushing, that he's to go home to Brisbane, where he actually doesn't have parents in Perth.
Yeah, they are. They're in Newman, which is about 10 hours out of Perth.
So it's not his immediate family.
No, he lived in Brisbane till he's 15. He's got obviously, you know, extended family and all his school friends and all that up there. So
being a small forward in the Brisbane forward line next year, I wouldn't have thought would be as great as what it could be at Adelaide.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a teammate, and you know, I am biased. I share a locker next to Charlie. I speak to him every morning. I spend a lot of time with him, and he's doing some fantastic things for us. So, you know, as a club, absolutely, we want him to stay, as we believe this is the best environment for him here at Adelaide. You know, whether that's, you know, what he thinks or his manager thinks, I guess that's up to them to decide.
His manager said that his performance slipped away a little bit this year with the lure of going back to Brisbane to be surrounded by not immediate family, but his other family. So for mine, I still think that his manager is not pushing the right wheelbarrow here. For me, I don't know because I'm an Adelaide boy.
Yeah.
And when I was drafted to Port Adelaide to start with in 97 in the Adelaide Crows, I didn't have to move too far out of West Lakes. But I just can't. I just see from a career point of view, if he was looking for the best interest from his playing future, I would have thought he's going to get the best out of his football at the Adelaide Footy Club and not at Brisbane.
Yeah, I guess if you ask a 20 to 25-year-old, it might be different from a 25 to 30-year-old. I mean, you know, for now, if I had my time playing at the Crows now, you know, I've got a wife, I'm, you know, established, I've played a fair bit of footy. You know, if I went to another environment, you know, it is easier because you can go to a successful club interstate and, you know, you might be able to finish your career there as the end seems closer than the start. Whereas if you're 21, 22 years old, you've still got 10 years ahead of you and you've still got a long way to forge a career. And, you know, with the way free agency and player movement goes these days, you know, players are able to get to the club of their choice.
Yeah, so Tom Rockcliffe around the corner, Port supporters. This is exclusive live here on Triple M's Rush Hour. Just signed.
7 minutes away. Triple M. 104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M, the Rush Hour, Jars and Louis, Rent Biglins and Crows Ruckman Sam Jacobs on the fill-in.
Biggles, this is an exciting one. It's a bit bittersweet. It's a great addition to the city of Adelaide, a man I'm going to see plenty of. We'd like to welcome to the show Tom Rockcliffe.
How are you, Rocky? Yeah. Good to have you on, mate. Thanks for taking the time out. Pen to paper.
Yeah, officially done now. So, yeah, very happy with the decision and how it all ended up. So, very excited to join the Port Adelaide Football Club and can't wait to get started.
First of all, Rocky, it's obviously great to have you here in Adelaide. What do you know about the city of Adelaide? Have you been here much? Have you just played footy here? Or?
Yeah, no, I haven't spent a lot of time there. Obviously, good mates with Jack Redden, and he's a Adelaide boy, or country, South Australian. So he's a good man. So I haven't spent a great deal of time there, but it's always a good city to visit. Enjoy playing over there, and obviously playing at the Adelaide Oval is a really good experience, and I look forward to getting cheered by the Port Adelaide fans instead of abused like I have been in the past.
They do that to everyone. 9 years with the Lions, and of course Michael Voss, being an old coach of yours, have a big influence in getting you across?
Yeah, I spoke to Vossy a little bit. It was probably Ken Hinckley and Travis Boak that were the key factors and key drivers for me. I spoke to Ken a fair bit throughout the process. He's really buoyant where the Port Adelaide Football Club is at the moment and the direction it's heading in. So they obviously played finals this year and hopefully look to win finals in the future. So looking forward to the opportunity to play for the Port Adelaide Football Club and run out there and hopefully win games and string that together and really push hard.
We've sort of been talking a bit on the show about, you know, blokes getting homesick and things like that. You are a country boy, obviously, from country Victoria. You had the opportunity, I guess, to go back to Victoria and Carlton, obviously, were reportedly looking at you. Can you discuss a bit about your decision to go back to Melbourne or to come to Adelaide and, I guess, you know, get a bit of success that you deserve?
Yeah, it was a tough decision, obviously. All three clubs, whether we stayed in Brisbane or Adelaide or went to Carlton back to Melbourne. So we just worked through it. Me and my partner, Shana, obviously got a newborn who's only 3.5 weeks old, Jack. So we just settled on Adelaide in the end, thought that it'd be a really nice city to bring a young family up. And a number of key factors went into the decision. Obviously, there was the lure to go back to Victoria, but in saying that, I'd still be 2 hours away from home. All my family's still back in Benalla in country Victoria. So I think you're never really home and you're not going to commute two hours plus to and from training. So the go-home factor didn't really affect me too much. And it would have obviously been nice to play, be back home, but very, very happy with the decision we've made and where we sit.
We're joined by a new Port Adelaide recruit, Tom Rockcliffe. And the other factors that influence your decision, obviously you're going from Benalla to Brisbane where it's AFL sits pretty low on the pecking order behind NRL, coming to a fishbowl in Adelaide. What did you discuss around that and how that's going to affect you?
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to it. Probably ask me in 6 months' time when I'm about the obstacle, but I'm really looking forward to it. I think you're out of sight, out of mind here, and obviously it's been a number of struggling years for the Lions. I think they're on the right track now, though, with Chris at the helm, so I wish them all the best in the future, but I'm really looking forward to getting back to a footy state. And when you grow up in that, as a young bloke, you just live and breathe AFL through the winter months and the cricket through the summer months. So the opportunity to go to a football state, have that microscope on you, I'm really looking forward to the challenge that provides. But also, I'm fairly confident that the Port Adelaide list and team are heading in the right direction and as a football club. And hopefully I can add something to that and the journey can be a really pleasurable one.
You're going to absolutely love it, mate. It's fantastic, Adelaide Oval, and it's probably a great lead into my next question about showdowns. You know, we've seen a little bit about the Q clash up there, and I don't know too much about it, but there's a real hatred here between Port and Crows, and it's a special 2 weeks of the year when we go at it. And do you know much about them or know a bit about the history or anything like that?
I suppose, as I said, you're out of sight, out of mind, and you've got to go through the newspaper about 9 pages to find one little article on anything up here. So I probably won't know much about it until you live it, and I'm sure you didn't source before you got over there and probably didn't understand it, and I'll be a little bit naive for that in my first one, but I can't wait for that. Obviously, the whole town and city will be abuzz, and really look forward to that. Obviously, the Q clash, yeah, we try and build it up in Queensland, and unfortunately, it's not where it needs to be. And the continued growth of AFL football in Queensland is really important for the competition, and hopefully, one day it is that, and it can reach the heights of the showdown. But I did speak to Ken Hinckley a little bit about that. He obviously spent a bit of time at the Gold Coast before taking the reins at the helm of the Port Adelaide Power, Port Adelaide Football Club, sorry. So
you did go
into it a little bit. Yeah, I know. I just got told not to say it, and I've said it in the second interview, so you're going to shoot me. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to those showdowns, and you get 2 opportunities a year to do that. And I can't wait to play in front of a packed house and play home games in front of 50,000 Power fans.
One final one before we let you go. I'm interested to find out how Kenny Hinckley and Boakey wine and dine you. Do they take you down to the O'Brien Hotel on Port Road and shout you a couple of West End drafts, or do they take you to Gauchos for top shelf Shiraz?
No, there was no wine and dining. It was pretty much just a couple of conversations. I actually went to Ken's house and had a just a couple of waters actually in conversation with him, and Boakey made the trip up here post-season to say good day. So there was no whining and dining. As I said, it was just it came down to being the best decision for me and the family, and hopefully it's the right one.
One more before we let you go, Rocky. It's obviously Steph Martin's a great ruckman himself, but I've seen Paddy Ryder in full flight many times. That must be something that's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Paddy, was absolutely exceptional this year after being out of the game. So I'm excited about what he can do in the future as well. I think he can go to greater heights and greater levels. And that's something that I really look forward to roving him and working with him throughout the pre-season and as the season comes around.
Tom Rockliffe, welcome to Adelaide. Thanks for joining us on Triple M. We appreciate your time and look forward to a boom season for you in 2018.
Thanks for coming on board, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys. All the best.
That's it. It's a wrap.
Good stuff.
The show's over.
Another great day.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they have to refill the lolly bowl for you, it won't be a great day. We've blown the budget. We're giving away $1,000 thanks to Automasters. Had a couple of texts from them saying, did you realise the budget's not that big?
I've given away the budget. I've eaten the lollies. It's probably enough for me, Biggles.
Well, this could be it. I think you might have a spell. Have a spell. We'll have a look after next week. But you've done a good job 3 days in a row. Well played.
Thanks very much, mate. It's been great to come on board, but it's time for me to have a break and head overseas, and it's been great fun here with the Triple M family, and looking forward to it.
Well played. Good stuff. Well done, Sauce. Tomorrow, the Texan, Taylor Walker, is going to replace you. Hopefully his gags are better than yours.
It'll be interesting.
It's a rush hour, Triple M.